morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. Again, happy Mother's Day. And not just to the moms that have biological children, but to all the women. Today is a celebration of you. And, you know, it's just such a great day to say thank you to a lady in your life, right? So our title today is Praise on My Lips. So Nancy, you wanted to...
Oh, well, I just thought it was appropriate, because it's Mother's Day, to think about our mom voices. Does anybody here have a mom voice? Okay. Well, I thought this was really appropriate. When your mom voice is loud, so loud, even the neighbors brush their teeth and get dressed. Happened to any of you? Can any of you relate? So today we're going to talk about your praise voice being so loud.
I love that. That's so great. Yeah, so Nancy is Pastor Rick's wife. She is also the leader of our women's ministry here at the church, and she's been doing that for many, many years. Rick and Nancy started our church, and I asked her if she'd come alongside and we could do the message together. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun together today. But we're both very passionate about this because we know how our words affect not only our day, but our lives over the course of time. Words hold power. Words have power. Jesus was called the Word of God. He was made flesh. And Jesus, in the very beginning, breathed the word, and it came to be. You'll see in the book of Genesis, it says, he said, and it was so. So his word had the power to create. And our words have the power to create or destroy. So what are we using our words to do? We are created in the image of God, and he's given us that powerful tool of communication. The way we communicate in action and word will ultimately affect our mood, our lives, the course of our lives, what direction we take, even borderline, and it does, how successful we are, how much we enjoy our lives. So if we speak positive things and praise, our lives will be filled with praise even in the hard times. Even when you're struggling, your life will be filled with praise. When you naturally, and I shouldn't say naturally because we're going to talk about how we have to practice it, but when we continually fill our mouths with praise, even in the hard times, we will be in an attitude of praise. If we complain, are judgmental, critical, and angry all the time, our lives will be filled with anger and bitterness, even in the good times. Even when good things happen. Were you ever around somebody, even if something good was happening, they were complaining about something about it, right? And that's because that's become a habit, right? How many of you remember something negative that was said to you maybe as a child that kind of caused you to be self-conscious in an area? You know, maybe it affects you even now. You think back to that thing. Maybe the way that you look or how you act. Maybe somebody told you that one of your body parts was too big or too small, or that you talked too much, or that you didn't talk enough, right? Or that you weren't as smart as cool as athletic as talented as someone else, and especially if it was someone you looked up to. Anybody ever have that experience, right? So I'll share an example with, where's my mom? My mom's here. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. I have a beautiful mom. Always have had a beautiful, lovely, very attractive mother. And she had me pretty young. She was 18 when she had me. And when I was in junior high, I was in this group, and I liked this boy, right? It wasn't Cliff. Sorry, Cliff. Cliff and I dated off and on from the time I was 7. So, you know. But my mom walked into the room, and he said, "Whoa, look at her." And I said, "That's my mom." And he said, "Well, what happened to you?" And, you know, now I look back and I think, yeah, I was in that awkward teenage stage, but so was that kid, okay? Should have told him that. And, you know, even Cliff also has a very beautiful mom. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. He also has a beautiful mom. In fact, when he went to get my engagement ring, they thought it was for her. She went along with him and they thought it was for her. How about you, Nancy?
That's awesome. Yeah, and if you've ever come to any of our girlfriends' brunches, ladies, I know the men aren't there, but you may have heard me share this before because we talked about one time how we view ourselves and why do we view ourselves that way. And I thought about when I was, you know, growing up, I had an older sister and a younger sister, and they were both shorter than me. And so they would often say to me, "Why are you so big? You know, you're the big one of the family." Or it wasn't said in a positive way, like, "Oh, I wish I was as tall as you." it was like, well, why are you so big? You know, like, it was more desirable to be small. Now I'm only 5'5". So, but I think of myself as being tall, and I wish I was short. And I think, why would I do that? It's because, you know, I was always told, you're so big. And my sisters pointed it out to me when we take a picture together now. I always lean my head. And they always say, why do you lean your head in? You stand up straight and tall. You know, and I say, well, I am tall. I'm taller than both of you. You know, so anyway, it's just, you know, it's just a simple thing that, how do we look at ourselves? You know, what kind of negative thought do we get about ourselves? And does it stem back from, you know, long ago?
Yeah. Words have power. How many of you remember something good that was said about you or to you? Maybe that encouragement that maybe even shaped your decisions for the future. Did you decide to join a sport or join a club or a group or maybe even a career choice because someone encouraged you and said, I think you could do that? And, you know, Pastor Rick was one of those people that spoke into my life when he asked me about leading music ministry. 21 years ago, he took me in his office and he said, would you be willing to lead our music ministry? And I gave him all the reasons why I couldn't do it, why I wasn't qualified. And I said, I'll do it till you find someone. And we always joke that he's still looking for someone to lead music ministry 21 years later. But he spoke something into my heart that propelled me to say, I'll try it. But I'll try it if somebody helps me, right? So it's neat when you have somebody encourage you, and then you can look back and say, if he hadn't said that to me and encouraged me, I might not be doing what I'm doing today. So give some credit to somebody that has encouraged you. Thank you, Rick. Love you. Okay, so our words hold power, and we can wield that power to breathe life or death into a situation, into a person, or even into ourselves. Don't withhold kind, loving words. Speak praise. You know, you might think, well, yeah, I really love my wife. When's the last time you told your wife that you love her? And Valentine's Day doesn't count. Yeah, you got to do it that day if you remember, right? No, just kidding. But really, when was the last time you said, I love you? You know, your kids, wives, when's the last time you told your husband, I'm proud of you, I'm so thankful for you? We have to think of praises and we have to speak them out. Okay, so what do you say in a day? What are the words that you're saying? Maybe keep a log, like you log your calories, log your words. You know, one study showed that the average man speaks 7,000 words a day and women speak 20,000. And that we hear 20 to 30,000 words a day. That means people are hanging out with lots of women, right? But we pour out a lot of words and we hear a lot of words. So think about the things that you've been saying lately. Are your words bringing life to people? Or are they cutting them down and bringing death? So in the Bible, these are words that are in the Bible, and how many scriptures are based on that word? So you got word, words, lips, tongue, mouth, speak, spoken, said, say, praise, worship, rejoice, shout, song, sing. And all those numbers are how many times that word appears in the Word of God, okay? Since there are so many scriptures on this subject, and not everyone pertains to today, we'll just share half of these with you today. So let's read our key passage. Our key passage is Psalm 63. Let's see, is it advancing here?
Yep, we got it.
Did it? Okay. Psalm 63, 1 to 5. It says, O God, you are my God. Let's read it together. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. Do you ever have a like really good meal and you're like, oh yeah, I'm full. That was good. And that's what it's like when we let the Lord fill us up in our souls. And then we can't help but pour out praise. So think about the lips. We can't see our lips, right? Try to look at your lips. That doesn't work, right? But our lips often express our feelings, joy, sadness, irritation. Other people see it, okay? So we can't usually hide our emotions because they're on our lips. That's why I think a lot of people liked the mask policy. Because they're like, well, I can be like, and no one's going to know, right? Now you got to smile at people again, Judy. Sorry, you got to. But we wear those expressions on our lips, and our lips are the doorway through which our words exit. Your lips are the doorway. You get to choose if you're going to keep the door open or closed. Psalm 139:4.
Sorry, this isn't wanting to advance for me. There we go. It says, even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Before we even say a word, God knows what we're going to say. So that's a staggering thought. Before we even think to say something, he knows it, right? So think about it. An external trigger produces a thought, which produces an emotion, then leading to actions or words, right? So the words and expressions that come from the lips begin with an external circumstance or issue. They move to the brain, and we start thinking about it, then to the heart, the physical body, and the mouth. And then the words pass over the tongue, through the teeth, and out the lips, right? And there's no return. There's no takebacks once we say something. We can apologize for hurtful words, but they can still leave a mark. They can still affect a relationship. So help us, Jesus, right? There's good news. God is always at work in each of us. His Holy Spirit wants us to have eternal life, but an abundant life. But our lips and our words hold power, and we get to decide. We choose. We control them.
Whenever I think about words and words we, you know, that we speak, and you know, positive, negative, I always think of the book of James, because James talks a lot about the tongue and about the words we speak. And so in this scripture, James chapter 1, 19 to 21, and we skip to verse 26, but they're all really important all in there. But this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. So for many years, I read a chapter in the book of James every single morning, particularly James 3. And it wasn't because I, you know, had a foul mouth or I cursed a lot or anything like that. But, you know, it can help people that do have that. But for me, it was more that I wanted to examine my words and ask God to help me to have only pure, encouraging, positive thoughts to those I encounter every day. Who do we encounter every day? Our husbands, our family, our, you know, friends, people at work, even people in the grocery store. No matter where we are, our words are so powerful. And James 3 helps us to see, that our words, the whole book of James, how important our words are. But James 3, 8 to 10 says...
Oops, sorry.
That was the key.
There we go.
Yeah. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. So it always puzzled me that the Bible said no one can tame the tongue. Why would God put something in our bodies that, you know, would represent evil and be full of deadly poison? If the Bible says it can't be done, is there any need to even try to tame the tongue? You know, it's like, no one can tame the tongue. Well, is it even worth the effort? And the word evil is used a lot of times. And when I hear the word evil, what do you think of? Satan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, or the devil. The easiest definition I can think of for evil is something that is not good. I know that God has given us the ability to overcome evil. Okay, we read that, we learn that, in the Bible. So has he given us the ability? The ability is the word, to tame the tongue. The Bible says no one's without sin, and yet the Holy Spirit helps us not to willingly sin, correct? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if the Bible says it can't be done, you know, do we still have that ability? Do we still try to tame the tongue and have our words build up and edify instead of tear down? James 3:3 particularly says, whoops, not that.
How did that happen? Cliff, I need your help.
Well, okay. It's on there.
No, wait, yeah, it's on there.
Okay. I'm going to read James 3:3 to you. So listen, because you can't see it there. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. So are you listening to me or watching the screen?
Sorry, guys. Yay.
If we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. And that's true if we pull on the reins hard enough. Okay, I don't know how many of you have ever had horses. We had horses when our girls were growing up. And so I know a little bit about the bit. Rick was really the trainer. I wasn't as involved in them as much as he was, but many of our horses were given to us for free. Because our, huh?
For a reason. Yeah.
Okay? And Rick would always say, there's no such thing as a free horse.
Yeah.
No? But, you know, we would take them and you give them a good home, and the girls just loved these horses, and Rick would put a bit in their mouth and train them. And when that bit was in the mouth, the horse was supposed to listen to him. Now, there are some horses that are more stubborn than others. There are some people that are more stubborn than others. Remember, this is an analogy between us and horses and putting the bit in our mouths. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and so we had some of those stubborn horses, didn't we, Rick? So much so that, what? Emergency room. Oh. So much so that Rick and Christy both broke a bone on one of our horses. And, you know, we should have known when we took that horse in because her name was Calamity Jane. But can we say, though, that the bit is the Holy Spirit directing our mouths and putting a check on what we speak? Okay? The bit is you know, a little bit painful maybe to the horse because, you know, it's supposed to direct them to where they have to go. So just as the Bible says we're not without sin, it also says no one can tame the tongue, right? But the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to tame it when our will and our flesh get in the way. And as I said, some of us are a little more stubborn than others, right? That bit has to be pulled a little bit harder. So Jesus knew that we were going to need some help, right? So the Holy Spirit was sent to help us. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." So the Holy Spirit is our helper. When you help somebody, do you just like pitch in and start working, or do you say to them, "Hey, can I help you?" Right? You kind of go up to him, "Can I help you?" And that's what the Holy Spirit does to us. Holy Spirit's always there, wanting to help us, wanting to teach us. And, you know, to me, that means the Holy Spirit wants us to stay on that path, you know, and not sway. And when the devil comes and says, you know, "You can say that, or you can do that, it's not going to hurt anybody," the Holy Spirit is saying, "I don't think so. You know, maybe you better keep your mouth shut, because the lips go out of your mouth. Sometimes it's in the heart, and we have to examine our hearts." The Holy Spirit helps us to represent Jesus, you know, as an ambassador does. An ambassador to the United States represents the United States, right? Well, the Bible says we're Jesus' ambassadors. So we represent Jesus wherever we go, okay? And when the Bible says we're not without sin, the Holy Spirit helps us not to willingly sin. Just as the Bible says no one can tame the tongue, the Holy Spirit is there to give us the ability to help us, you know, and he wants us to say, "Yeah, can you help me?" Because he's always there with us. First Peter, you know, and first the Holy Spirit to help us, because God knew that there's an evil force out there that wants us to slip up. Wants nothing more than for us to slip up. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." The devil wants nothing more than for us to slip up and make a mistake, to have evil thoughts, to have those words that James 3 says are like fire. Okay? He wants us to say those words. So how hard is it for us to recognize when we're messing up? No, well, I think, first of all, we need to be in tune to the Holy Spirit. How do we get in tune with the Holy Spirit? We spend time in the Word. We pray. We ask the Holy Spirit every day, show me when my words are not pure. Show me when I'm slipping up. And, you know, you get that little thing inside there that says, I don't think I would do that. I don't think I would say that. And the devil's in there saying, it's okay. You know, you're not going to hurt anybody. And, you know, the more we listen to the Holy Spirit, the more we're in tune to the Holy Spirit, the more time we spend in the Word hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, the more we can keep our mouth shut, because the more we hear when that's happening, and the better we feel, and the easier it gets. The first time you do that, you know, say, I think I'm going to try that. I'm going to try asking the Holy Spirit to help me. And when those thoughts come, say it, don't say it, say it, don't say it, and you don't say it, it gets easier every time, because you feel so good afterwards, you know, that you didn't actually say what the devil wanted you to say. How about gossip? Any of you work in a place where there might be some gossip? Or maybe in, you know, families or somewhere there's gossip going on? Talk about the tongue being fire. You know, that's what gossip is. And I found that by journaling and reading James 3 over and over, that, you know, and asking the Holy Spirit, make my thoughts and my words pure. Help me to hold my tongue and not contribute to that gossip. And the Holy Spirit does remind me and help me. And again, the devil's gonna say, that's not really gossip. You can contribute to that. But the Holy Spirit yanks on that bit a little tighter and, you know, says, keep your mouth shut. Okay, did you ever get that feeling? Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, don't contribute to that gossip. I also want to say that our words are not only the spoken words. Nowadays, our words come through our fingers, mm-hmm. right? Typing, social media. The words come through. And the Bible doesn't address that for obvious reasons. But as the scripture says, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, even on social media. Mm-hmm. Okay? He prowls around like a roaring lion. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Okay? Just be on the alert. Yes. The scripture says, be on the alert.
Yeah. Our lips are the doorway for our words, so we choose to open the door or shut it. Right? And if you type something out on, you know, social media and then you go back and read it, first of all, come on, grammar check, please, okay? Go back and grammar check at least. And then check your words and check your heart. Why am I typing this? Am I typing this because I want so-and-so to read it so they know how I feel? Have a conversation, right? We've talked about this many times, but it's very real. It's an everyday battle that many people face. But, you know, words communicate our feelings. I'm almost there. Words communicate our feelings, opinions, and knowledge. Words can build up, or they can be tools to build up or weapons to tear down. Words give direction to steer a ship, right, and steer the course of our lives. And words will impact and influence others. You have no idea the people that you are impacting with your words, positive or negative, right? So let's look at what Jesus said about words. He said in Matthew 15:7-11, you hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, hear and understand, it is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man. It's not about the food we eat or, you know, that was full of fat and calories. You know what? At the end of the day, is what we're saying full of goodness or not goodness? Right? So he always was correcting hypocritical attitudes. More so the people that professed to be God followers than even the people that were sinners, that didn't know God. Okay, and then the next scripture. He said, Matthew 12, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. That's heavy. Let's read that together. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know, when Cliff and I, you know, we have somebody say something negative about us or bad about us, and if it's on social media, you know, it's happened. I always feel bad for them standing before the throne of Jesus if they don't repent for it here on earth. You know, and even I don't want to go to heaven and God goes, hey, these are the careless words you said that you didn't repent for, that you didn't apologize for. Our words are valuable. Jesus is the word. They matter. Okay, and then in Luke 6, he also says, why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye? How many of you are actually, don't raise your hand, thinking about someone else and you wish they were here listening to this message right now? Right? How many of you look at the words in your brother's mouth, but don't notice the log that's in your own eye, in your own mouth? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that's in your eye, when you yourself have a log in your own, right? We don't see. I don't see my lips, my expression. I don't see my face, right? I don't have any clue who I'm hurting, right? Brother, all right. So then it says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, repent, ask the Lord to forgive you, ask for forgiveness from others, right? And then you will see clearly to take out the speck that's in your brother's eye. You'll be able to help someone else, but it'll be with a right attitude and right heart, right? For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. What are we filling our hearts with?
What we say out of our mouth is what's in our hearts. But, you know, the Bible tells us it's a choice. God always gives us a choice. In Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. I have set before you life and death. Choose life. The challenge is choose life. You know, make the right choice. That's the key word, choose. I kind of like when things are black and white. I'm just that kind of person. You know, either it's yes or no. And so this really, I can really relate to this because it says, choose life or death. Okay, that's easy. You know, God always gives us that choice. He never demands of us. He always gives us that choice. And we see that in so many instances in the Bible. How about all the way back to the Garden of Eden? You know, he said, don't eat of that tree. But he gave them a choice to do it. And they made the wrong choice. You know, but John 10:10 also says, the devil comes only to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. The devil wants us to choose death. You understand that? He wants us to choose death. God says, choose life in order that you might live.
I love that the scripture that says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Anybody else like that verse, right? But let's look at how that chapter actually starts. It says in verse 1 through 4, it says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. How many of you love to look up at the sky and see how Jesus paints it every day? I love it. I think every single morning, like if you want a picture of that sky, you take a picture now because it's going to change in the next 5 seconds, right? If you want a picture of that rainbow, we had a rainbow at Penn's Peak on Easter, on the night before Easter. And if you wanted a picture of that, you had to get it right away, right? But the heavens are constantly telling of the glory of God. And the expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. But there is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. Right? Sky doesn't talk, right? It doesn't speak, but yet it speaks, right? It's telling of the glory of the Lord. And then he says, so Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. When you think about the mouth speaks, the heart meditates. So the heart and the mind still speak to us. And one tool I'm gonna give you, when you're struggling in your mind, and the Lord's shown me this, if you would just stay in the moment, you're gonna, and not be thinking about the past, and not be thinking about the future, but stay in and enjoy this moment, your mind will be healthier. Okay. The more we use our words to praise God and others, the more we will want to do that. It's a conscious effort that takes practice and time. So what do we do? What do we do? First, the word says we guard our heart. We guard our hearts and our minds, right? This scripture is so powerful. Proverbs 4:20-27. It says, my son or my daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. This is a setup for what he's going to say. Listen. Listen to me right now. Pay attention to what I'm saying, because this is going to help you body, mind, spirit, soul. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. When we're constantly watching what other people are doing, we're going to get mad. When we constantly worry about other people's lanes, we got to get in our own lane and keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep ourselves in that moment with Jesus. Because if not, inside, we're going to be frustrated, right? We have to give it to Jesus. We have to guard our hearts, because the heart, the out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are you guys with us? Are you with us? Okay. Just making sure we weren't here all alone in this room. Okay, so he was saying, listen, this is going to change your life. This is going to change your attitude. This is going to change your overall well-being, even your health. If you have a headache, find out why you have that headache. It could be because you're stressed about something that you can't control. If you have a stomach ache, it could be because you ate too much, or you're stressed about something that you cannot control. If you struggle, ask the Lord, is there something in my life that I am not relinquishing to you? Am I depressed because I'm not giving it to you, Lord? Guilty. It's happened to me. I get it. We all have had those days, right? Guard your hearts. The peace of God will offer us protection. So it's actually interesting. The cross reference for this verse about guarding your heart, you know what Nancy said about the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So we're the sheep of God's pasture. So picture yourself. Everybody say bah. Bah. Okay. Happy Mother's Day. Okay. So we said bah, right? We're sheep. And it says in John 10, which is after the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, it's talking about the sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. What I picture is us all grazing in the pasture while Jesus is fighting off the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, that are trying to devour us. He's fighting them off. We don't even know they're there. We're just grazing and praising. We're grazing and praising. And if we can just enjoy our lives, enjoy the moment, and not get so rattled about the past and the future and what I have to do. And I mean, hey, I'm preaching to myself. You have no idea what the enemy tried to bring on me in the last 3 weeks in my mind. It was like Chinese water torture. That's what it felt like. It was just pew, 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 pew. I felt like I was in a video game, right? And I was a target. And God just helped me, and I just kept saying, praise on my lips, praise on my lips, praise on my lips, praise on my lips, praise on my lips. Can you say that? Praise on my lips.
Praise on my lips.
And it's got to be conscious, a conscious effort. I wonder just how much of our stress would go away if we would just watch the path of our own feet, if we would just graze and let Jesus work on our behalf, right? And if we'd walk away from conversations that draw us into the things we shouldn't talk about.
So today, of course, we're honoring our mothers. Yes. So it's fitting that we look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. And, you know, I love how the angel came to her and told her she was going to have the Son of God. Now, can you even imagine that? Okay. So what did she do? Her response in Luke 2:19. But Mary treasured.
Sorry, that was my fault. I bumped it
back. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then a little further on, when they took Jesus, they lost him in the temple when he was, about 12. She said, it says, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. So, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit tells us to keep things in our heart, to ponder them. It could be something the Holy Spirit's speaking about you, but it's not the right time to say it. And then in the same way, when the angel revealed to Mary that Elizabeth, her cousin, was going to have John the Baptist, she went to visit Elizabeth. And when she did, what happened? Praise flowed out of her. Luke 1:41 says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice. Get that? Cried out with a loud voice. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And Mary's response in Luke 1:46 and following, she sang a song of praise. My soul exalts the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Praise spilled out of Mary and Elizabeth, out of their hearts and out of their minds, the way God was working in their lives. So, you know, moms, sometimes does the Holy Spirit tell you things to ponder until it's time to praise and tell others? Sometimes it's good to keep that inside.
Yeah, it's powerful. Okay. So we guard our heart. The next tool is to pray, all right, to pray. And pray means simply talk to God about it. It's Psalm 141 says, oh, Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Come quickly, right? And he's there already. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. So you see, we're praise on my lips. We got the big lipstick up here for Happy Mother's Day, right? Maggie Lukasiewicz made this. Isn't it beautiful? She did such a great job. I commissioned her a couple weeks ago, and I said, could you make me a giant lipstick? And so she did that, and she did a fabulous job. But we also have a sword up here. Because I thought about the men. You don't wear lipstick, right? But you got the sword. Set a guard, O Lord, over my tongue. And I just picture a little tiny guard ready to swipe those words out of the way when they're about to come out of your mouth. Set that guard, Lord God. Make sure that nothing evil comes out of my lips. So we want to guard our heart and pray and ask the Lord to help us. And then the next one is sing. I raise a hallelujah, even when we're angry, in the presence of my enemies, even when I can't stand it anymore. I raise a hallelujah. Okay, and so we're going to sing a song, Psalm 59:16-17. But as for me, I don't care what everyone else is doing. As for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. For you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. Oh, my strength, I will sing praises to you. For God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness.
So what are your go-to songs? Do you have songs like ready? Because when the devil attacks and tries to steal our joy, it's hard to think of something to sing sometimes or something to say. And so I like to have that list of go-to songs. And I'm just sharing with you a couple songs that I like to have ready, because sometimes we have to force ourselves to sing. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we like to wallow in pity and maybe call somebody up who's going to agree with us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. About how bad we have it. So instead of doing all that, let's force ourselves, you know. Where's that song? Where's that song of praise? Here, these are just a few of them. Lord, I Need You, 10,000 Reasons. These are all songs that, you know, we sing in church a lot. How Great Is Our God, My Jesus, Raise a Hallelujah. Jen just sang that for us. I have a little friend in my kitchen. Her name is Alexa. And, you know, sometimes I can't think of a song because I'm just like, you know, I can't get to that place. And so I'll say, Alexa, play me a praise song. And she does. And I can sing it with her. And you know what? My whole, everything just changes. I start thinking positive. You know, I could say, Alexa, play Raise Me a Hallelujah. Raise a Hallelujah. And you know where it says, sing a little louder, sing a little louder, sing a little louder? I sing a little louder. Yeah. And, you know, that praise just fills us. Rather than, like I said, wallowing in that pity, you know, like I just have it so terrible. So anyway, have your list of songs, whether you write them down or you have them on your phone or, you know, have them somewhere. Get an Alexa. They're great.
That's right. And then, so regard our heart, pray, sing, and then say something positive, even if you're thinking a negative, right? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So, you know, Nancy and I have both talked about saying no, Satan, right? Counteract the lie or the negative thought with the truth or a positive thought. So what I do sometimes is, like, how many of you like to have your house perfectly clean? You know, okay, you like it because you like Pinterest, but you don't see behind the camera when they're taking the picture, all right? And I get it. But we can choose to bite and devour and say, well, you don't pick this up, and why don't you do this? And the devil's trying to tell you, nobody helps you around the house. You're doing it all by yourself, right, Mom? You're doing it all by yourself. No one does anything ever, right? And Satan can really make those things get really loud. So what I've been saying is, no, Satan, this is what they do for me. I am blessed as a wife, as a mom. I am thankful for my house. Thank you, Jesus, for my home that I get to clean, for the people I get to live with and be with, right? But you have to say it out loud, not just think it away, because Satan's voice is loud. He's a lion. He's a roaring lion. You're a sheep. But you have the Lion of Judah on your side. And when you speak out the word of God, the Lion of Judah comes and fights and devours the enemy. So we have to recognize that there is such a powerful spiritual force surrounding us. This is not just, oh, well, you know, I had a bad thought. I said something bad. Oh, well. This is something Satan wants to make part of your life. So we got to nail it now. And Nancy
I like to say, go, Satan. Like, get out of here. You think you know what's best for me? Well, let me tell you about my Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me, you know, amen. And Satan will flee. Do you know, it says in...
Yeah, go ahead. We'll go back again.
Okay, it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Right. Do you know, Jesus was our best example of saying, go, Satan, no, Satan. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and went into the wilderness. And do you think you might have been tempted to eat, to turn a stone into bread, or to do something after 40 days and 40 nights? Well, finally, the third time, every time he's tempted Jesus came back with a scripture. And the third time, Satan was relentless, came back the third time. And Jesus said in Matthew 4:10, that's if you want to read about Jesus being tempted, it's in Matthew 4. He said, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And what happened? The devil left and angels came and ministered to Jesus. Amen. And that's exactly what happens. Jesus is our best example of choosing life and defeating Satan, which is death. So it's just like you have go-to songs. Do you have go-to verses? Write those down. Because sometimes we need to get in the Word when we're feeling kind of down and feeling bad about ourselves or feeling like, you know, our heart's not pure. I like to go to You have 2 Corinthians. Well, that's Matthew 4:10, and that's what Jesus said to Satan. 2 Corinthians 2:14 is, "But thanks be to God who always leads me in triumph in Christ Jesus." Wouldn't that be awesome to say to Satan?
Yes.
I love this one, 1 John 4:4. Anybody know that one? "Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Greater is Jesus who is in me than Satan." You're in the world. I have someone greater living in me. Isaiah 40:31, "Those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." And Romans 8:28, "God causes all things to work together for good." I'm not going to read the whole scripture. Romans 8:39, "Nothing can separate me from the love of God." Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave you or forsake you." That's a great promise. 2 Timothy 1:7, "God has not given me a spirit of timidity or of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind."
That's right.
Those are great scriptures to say, "Go, Satan, because let me tell you about my Jesus," and quote these scriptures to him.
Amen. All right, we just have a few more minutes, and we have something special at the end here. But Philippians 4, 4-9 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you."
That's an awesome verse. I think there's a word in there that we overlook, though, at the very end. It's practice. Practice, practice, practice.
That's right.
Okay? We have to practice these things. Did you ever get good at something without practicing? Did you ever get good at playing an instrument or at playing a sport? You never practiced, you never did it once in your life, and all of a sudden you're like the expert at it? No, it says practice. Practice these things. What things? Whatever's right before that, whatever is pure and honorable and right, and you can read all those. And, you know, because the more we hold our tongues and not contribute to that gossip or not say negative things, the easier it gets. The more we encourage someone and compliment them, the easier it gets. It's all about practicing. The more we choose life, the easier it gets. Practice choosing life. The more we praise when the devil tries to get us down, the easier it gets. So practice it when you're down. Practice praising.
That's right. So how blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness at all times. Psalm 119:160.
Okay, I'm going to read it to you.
Thank you.
"The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble." Nothing.
Amen. That's right. We have to consciously put on praise. Music ministry, will you come up, please? In just 1 minute, we're going to be giving the women a gift, okay? And sorry, guys, if you really want one, you can take one. But we're going to be passing around a little gift to remind us. We have to consciously put on praise. Praise on my lips. You know, we will think about the things we think about. We will believe the things we think about in our heart. We will talk about the things that we think about. When we think about Jesus, we'll not only think about him, but we'll believe him, and we will talk about him. So it starts in the minds. When we talk to and about Jesus, we will live an abundant life. Praise on my lips. Will you choose to put on praise? Will you ask the Lord, "Set a guard over my lips. My lips choose you, Jesus." And have you recently told Jesus that you love him?